My name is Luis. My wife, Diana, she's with me here. And we can just see the presentation. And after that, if you have questions, or just feel free to ask questions. And I hope to be able to answer those questions. So basically, we are going to, God willing, we are in the process to go to Colombia, Pereira. Pereira is basically the town that we are going to serve, where Ricardo and Bona Morales, the other missionaries, are there. So we are going to join them and serve with them. I know that the name of the city is not easy to pronounce, Pereira, but you can practice. So let's see if it's going to work. Okay. So we are going to share a little bit about the grace of the Lord in our lives. I met my wife back in Colombia. We are Colombians. I met her in 2001. And she was the one that shared the gospel with me. We were working in the same company. And she just read some of the passages of the Bible and shared the gospel. And because I was really, really interested on her, so I listened to her. And straight away, I went to church with her. And we were going to the same church probably for around 3-4 years. It was a very charismatic church, kind of prosperity gospel church. And the Lord didn't save me there. So I was just going because of her. During that process, I proposed her to be my wife. And she thought, like, oh, this guy is coming with me to the church. And every week he's going up front and raising his hand and make the prayer, the sinner prayer. So he's a believer. So, but she had a kind of dream, which was to go to, she wanted to have like a gap year before marriage, and she decided to go to Australia for that gap year, so very far from Colombia, and I wasn't really happy with that, so, but she definitely went there and to study a little bit of English and working there. And because I was thinking, like, I don't think it's a good idea she be by herself. So I just decided, I didn't tell her anything. So I just decided to organize everything and go to Australia with the wedding rings and everything and say, okay, are you going to marry with me or not? And she said, yes. So we got married there in Australia in 2007. One of the promises that she asked me was to go with her to the church and reading the Bible together. And we know the power of the word of the Lord. So the Lord was working on my heart, going to the church. It wasn't also a kind of Baptist, charismatic, Pentecostal, a mix of everything church in Australia. But the Lord saved me there. The Lord saved me there, and that changed everything in our marriage, in our lives. So when the Lord saved me, I was just I had a desire to read more the Bible and studying, and I started looking for a place to study and serving in our local church. It was a very small church, probably of 25, 30 people, and We were just serving there, and I found about a place to study in the U.S. So I started an application. I applied to that college, which is TMS, the Master Seminary in L.A. I never received any answer for 2 years. So I was thinking, like, oh, that must be so difficult to get to study there. And I was in the process of getting a promotion in my job in Australia. I'm an accountant, basically. And there, at that time, when my boss offered me that promotion and also a program of a master in finance and things like that. That was one of the conditions for the promotion. At the same time, I received a letter from Dr. MacArthur saying, like, they will accept me. And I was thinking, like, what? What I should do? But, of course, so I just, we were praying and we made a decision just to go to the seminary. And I started that program online. It was a Spanish program, a master degree in Spanish. And after that program, when I finished that program, I had the opportunity to meet with some people from LA, some of my professors, and they say, you should come and study on campus. But we were basically with our life set there in Australia. We were working. My wife, she's a nurse. She was working there. So we were like, no, that's crazy. So we are not going to do that. But the Lord changed that. So the Lord changed our passions. I was scared at that point because I was thinking like, what happened to me? So I was, my passion was my job, and now it's not anymore. So I talked to my wife, we prayed together, and she said, like, let's see what the Lord is doing in our lives. And in 2019, basically, we made the decision to go to the U.S., so we basically, in 2020, we sold everything we had in Australia. We resigned to our jobs and everything. And we were just ready to go to LA in March of 2020. Guess what? So we couldn't go. So we were with our four bags, our life of 16 years in four bags, and we were thinking, like, what we are going to do? And we found, thank God, we found a hotel room because there were no people traveling, so the hotel room was so cheap. So we lived there for 6 months. It was a long honeymoon, so it was good. It was a huge blessing, really. So basically, after 6 months, we found a new place to live. We have to call our bosses and companies and ask for rehire us. Praise the Lord, they did it. So we continue our life there, working, serving. But the difference was I was studying online and my wife too. She started a program at TMU, Biblical Counseling Master Degree, online. And we were working less. So basically I was working like 3 days a week. My wife was working a little bit less too, just to try to feed our commitment with our studies. And in at the end of 2021, the Australian government said, like, if you are an Australian citizen and you want to go overseas, you can go, but you cannot ask any help from us if something gets wrong with you. But you have to sign an affidavit saying so. So, and give us like 2 weeks or 3 weeks to just leave the country. And that was what we did. So basically we resigned our jobs and we just signed that affidavit and we went to LA. And when we got there, we got COVID. So basically we got very sick. That was our welcoming to LA. And praise the Lord for everything, so he does. So we continue our studies there. I got my master degree, my MDiv last year, so I finished last year. And my wife finished her program this year in May. So that's God's grace. So sometimes we think like we are planning things, but really the Lord is who guides our steps, so you know. And he changed our hearts and our passions. And we have to be sensible to that. So that's part of our testimony. Yes. And our ministry call, we were not really planning to go to Colombia. So we were considering go back to Australia when we were finishing our courses. But the Lord changed that too. So the Lord just gave me the opportunity to go to Colombia. Of course, we are Colombians. And teaching and preaching and training some men in a city where there are not really like biblical churches there. And it's probably like 4 hours from Pereira. And I didn't know much about Ricardo, but a couple that we just, that we shared the gospel with them in Australia, they were also looking for a church in Pereira. So basically, I knew about Ricardo because of that. So I spoke with him over the phone, and Ricardo said, yeah, we are planting a church here. The church was at that time in their home. And that family from Australia joined that church during basically their vacations. And that was our first contact with Ricardo. But when I was invited to that city to teach and preach, one of the pastors say, oh, do you know Ricardo Morales? And I say, I don't know him, but I just have a conversation with him over the phone. And he say, let's go and visit him. And we were like, we are really short of time. But we went. And that was a huge blessing. So, you know, because we started a relationship. We were just like talking. Ricardo never really say like, I'm waiting for, would you like to come? Nothing like that. He was just telling me like, oh, I really would like to have a couple that help us. And we say, oh, we will pray for that. And to make this story short, last year, when we were undecided what should be our path, but we were praying, we had a couple of opportunities in California to stay, but the Lord just showed us through our elders and council that that wasn't really the good fit. So Ricardo called me and say, oh, what are your plans now? And I say, we're looking at what maybe the Lord is guiding us. And he said, we are still praying for that couple. And I said, oh, the church is growing and we need help. And I say, like, I know a couple of seminarians that they are from Colombia and maybe they are interested to go. And then he said to me, like, we are praying for you guys. We are praying for you. We started praying for you since we met you. And that really broke my heart. So I was thinking, like, what's going on? So we had the opportunity also to go to Dominican Republic and serve there in a short-term mission. And the pastor was also praying for us. But that was really a confirmation from the Lord that the place should be Colombia. And we asked for counsel to our elders in the church, and they say, like, we really want that you go there and serve with the Morales family. So that's why, again, that's the providential word of the Lord, changing our desires and passions, and he is guiding us to go to Colombia. So what we are going to do there is not any better path that we learned this morning and we see in the Bible. So, you know, there is not any strategies or something like that. What we have to do is fulfill the Great Commission. That's what we have to do. Proclaim Christ's gospel. Going to the streets, talking to people, and reach them, teach them, and shepherd their souls. That's what we are going to do. There is no any other plan. And as I was talking this morning with Pastor James, so we want to equip the church, and we want to give the life for the church, the local church, because that's the priority. So we want to be focused on that. And we know that Ricardo and Bona, they really need help in different ministries because the church is in the process of foundation. It's growing, but there are people that they just are recently saved, one thing. And the other thing, so many people are coming from prosperity gospel churches. And they are like, oh, this is a cult? What's going on here? Because they don't understand, you know? They think that they are right, and when they come and listen a different message, they think that we are wrong. So it's a very, very challenged situation, but we know that the Lord, through his word is the only one that provides firm convictions to serve him. So that's our ministry call. So simple as that. This photo was from this year in January that we had the opportunity to visit them and share a message with the church. And that was also a beautiful thing because we never spent time with the Morales and neither with the church. And we fell in love. So that was beautiful. Yeah, so people from the church, they were just happy to listen the messages and loving people. So that's what we see, how the Lord is working on their hearts. So that's basically the thing. What else we have here? You may know something about Colombia. Colombia is located in South America. 52 million people live there. The capital city is Bogota. We are from Bogota, so we were born there. And Spanish is the official language of the country. And in the map, you can see the blue triangle. That's Pereira. Pereira is located in the middle of Bogota, Cali, and Medellin. So some of the main cities. And the location is very strategic. So we think like definitely the Lord is doing something great there. Let's talk a little bit more about the situation of Colombia. So the country situation is tough, so you know. So sometimes we have hope to see different things, but without the real hope, there are no change, so you know. There is no change. So we have internal ongoing conflict. So the groups, guerrilla and other kind of groups are just, especially with the government we have now, there is no law there. So basically they are doing whatever they want. And the government is basically taking out from the prison all the guerrilla guys and things like that. They are friends because the president, our current president, he was member of the guerrilla. So they have a friend there. The photo that you see there is one of the guys that were running for presidential election for next year, because we have elections next year, and he was killed. So that's really sad. Because the government has tried to basically make the military forces weak and all those kind of things, the cocaine production is growing. It's massive. And probably you have heard a little bit about the news from Venezuela, Colombia, all what is happening. So that's really hard. And that brings violence, sexual exploitation, and of course, high levels of corruption because the government is corrupted and they are receiving money from those groups. That's basically the Colombia country situation. We are, of course, praying for our government, praying for the situation, but we know what really is the real hope. We all know that. The religious state of Colombia, so the majority of people, probably like in these days, around 75-80% are Catholics. So they think that they are just safe because they are Catholics. So because they have the tradition, their family, they're known as praying for them and to the Virgin Mary. And we see all of that. And they of course, are deceived. So they don't understand the gospel. And we can see all the idolatry from the Catholicism everywhere. Even Pereira is a very strong roots to the Catholicism. So we have to pray a lot for that city. As I said before, prosperity gospel is so common there. So even in Pereira, there are churches with 2,000-3,000 people that they just teach prosperity. So We are praying for them too. Witchcraft and satanic practices are in these days are worst. If you see the photo underneath, so that photo is only 2 hours from Pereira. It's a city where there is a satanic temple open to the public. So everyone can go, and it's incredible because usually it's full of people. So that's so sad. And about Pereira, definitely the city faces violence, lawlessness, and despair. Prostitution, a kind of what they call that, it's like tourist prostitution. So people going from different countries looking for basically sex trafficking. So it's so sad. And again, so the crime and corruption is in the city. So that's why when we see how the Lord has been working in Pereira and specifically in the church of Pereira, where Ricardo and Bona are, it's amazing. It's amazing to see those families that are going out from different situations of their lives, and they can see really the hope in Christ. So our heart from Pereira, so you have heard a little bit about it in our testimony. So after almost 20 years, we haven't lived in Colombia. So for us, it's like a new thing. We haven't lived in Pereira. So we are praying that the Lord just help us to settle in. But we are praying for Pereira that see the gospel bring hope and restoration to the city. As you know, Ricardo and Bona are there. They are planting the church. They are working really hard, and they are praying for help. And we really believe that we are the answer of those prayers. So it's incredible how the Lord just brought us from Australia, 14,000 kilometers away, to united with Ricardo and Bona, and now with you guys, and just for serving the Lord. He is the only one can do that. He's the only one. So we are so blessed to join them, and they are a blessing to us. We are praying for them. We are meeting with them regularly and praying together and see how things are going for us to go. They want us to go in January, but we are still far from the budget and raising funds. So we are praying that the Lord just organize everything as he does. And we are praying for that, just to go at the right time. So that's the main thing. But we really want to go as soon as possible. But we know that the Lord's plans are better than us. So that's the main thing. We are going to serve in different areas. We have been very involved in the biblical counseling at Grace Community Church, in the Spanish ministry with my wife. So we are planning to working hard on that area in Pereira, serving the Lord in that way, supporting the youth and children ministry. That photo, this photo is from the children ministry in the church. It's probably like only 5 or 6 months old photo. Definitely, Ricardo needs help to training men for the leadership and also disciple them. So he's doing it, but of course he has another 20 things to do. So it's difficult for him to be multiplied and doing everything. So we are praying, and one of our goals is to create a group of evangelism, to going out and reach out. But we are praying for that. And definitely we want to put in practice what we have learned in our training in California. And of course, the gift that the Lord has given us in his grace. So Some prayer requests, I know, and we know that in His abundant grace, we know that you have been praying for us, and we feel really, really thankful for that. Some of the prayer requests, I know that you have received maybe some of them, but basically is that the Lord raises ministry partners to support this ministry, and the Lord give us humble hearts to serve them in the church, glorifying His name. Of course, to go in His perfect timing. And definitely that the Lord open the hearts of people to listen the message. So that's basically some of our prayer requests. We will try to send you more prayer requests and that you will be able to pray for us. And again, so that's a blessing. And that's the one of the ways to partner with us. So have a consistent and fervent prayer. Sometimes we are in the morning or in the night that we are going to pray and we think like, okay, I'm going to pray, but we don't have a list of names. We don't have like prayer requests sometimes. So it's good to have another prayer request there and have more prayer time, which is a blessing to any Christian. So another option to partner with us is sharing this ministry opportunity with others, that more people know about the project. The other option is partner by giving financially to advance the gospel in Pereira, Colombia. And we really want that you rejoice with us in the way that the Lord is leading these plans, because we can plan and it's a blessing to do it. We organize things, but we really need to put our plans in His hands. And that's one of the biggest mistakes we make. So, you know, we say like, oh, I'm going to do this and do it. And we don't pray. We don't put everything in His hands. So it's giving us also like the opportunity to be passionate about how His time and His plans are better than us. So that's a good, I think it's a good principle for everything we do. And this is our prayer card. So we will give some and put it, I think, at the back of the building. And you can take some to just put it in your fridge and pray for us. If you scan the QR code, you will find more information that takes you directly to the GMI ministry, which is the missionary agency that is organizing everything to us to go to Pereira. So that's basically the presentation. And please feel free to ask any question you have. So we are open to answer your questions. Any question is fine. Yes.
Hi, Luis. Thanks for coming and sharing. What you put up there for Colombia could probably be multiple countries in the world. But my question to you is, you know, recognizing the deep Catholic roots, recognizing Satanism and all that stuff is... Are the people there finding, are you finding that people want to hear the gospel? In other words, they feel trapped in all the religion that's going on and they're looking for Satan?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, because if we think about it, so you are right. So what we see in those slides are the common thing everywhere, without distinction of if it is a rich country or poor country. So because the problem is in our hearts, so the sin that is in our hearts. So when the situation becomes really bad in different ways, like what is happening in Colombia with the government and corruption and guerrilla, we think like definitely... some people are more open to listen the message. Because that's the message of hope. Still, there is a barrier, but only the Lord can open and broken that barrier, and they will listen the message. And if the Lord save them, that's the main thing. But yes, we know that some people, what we have heard is that people are looking for something different because they are tired of what the situation is. So it's a kind of desperation situation, a desperate situation. So we that's why we are praying, so that the people have open hearts for the gospel. Yes. Any other question? Yes, brother. In Pereira, that's the thing. Is as far as we know, that's the only church with sound doctrine. But again, as far as we know, because we are not there, I have asked Ricardo, and he is focused on his ministry. So, but we know that there are a lot of churches, Christian churches. And that's an interesting thing in Colombia. Sometimes you are going, just walking through the streets, and you see so many churches around. But all of those churches, maybe some people here from the church that went there noticed that, but not really sound doctrine churches. So that's the thing. Yeah. So we are, and as if you remember the location in the map. Pereira has a lot of small towns around, and sometimes people are going to the church in Pereira, and they have to travel every Sunday for 2 hours, 2.5 hours or more. And so that's another good thing in terms of that maybe we will be able, if the Lord let us, just to plant another church in some of those cities nearby. We know that some people also are going to Cali from before. They went to Cali, a church from another missionary family, because it wasn't a church in Pereira. So they basically drive probably like 4 hours to get to Cali. So, but now that the church has been planted, those families are going to the church in Pereira. So it is a proof that people are looking for the Lord in a way. So that's the thing. So we are praying for also maybe multiply the church, if that's the wise thing. So we will pray for that. Any other question? Yes. Yes. Yeah, when the government the corruption is there, so basically, so the organized crime, we have talked about that with my wife. It's an interesting thing, because sometimes the organized crime, they try to disguise as a guerrilla, because if they say like they are guerrilla, people will feel more afraid. So but that's the thing. So the thing is, there are some organized crime, gangs and things like that, and they say they are from the guerrilla, plus we have the guerrilla. So it seems like crazy. And they just try to blackmail people. If you have a business, they try to blackmail you, all those kind of things. And there is no really help from the law, from the police and the military forces, because the government has just put them down. And he just called to retire all the experience. It's definitely, from my point of view, it's a path to becoming a kind of, how can I say this? It's becoming like a communist idea. a country like Venezuela, sorry for put that example for Venezuelans, but that's the same path that this president is trying to do. Because what he did was to just call to retirement all the experienced people from the army. And he put their people on the top because they need them to try to do all those kind of things. So, of course, we are praying that this, in the next elections, so things change. But only the Lord knows what's going to happen. Still, our hope is in Jesus, in the gospel. And we know that when things are very difficult, the Lord is working. So he does for sure. So thank you for the question. And you. The current church, the last conversation we had with Ricardo, is probably around 100 regular attendees, maybe like 25, 30 children. Yeah, but it varies. We are now in a building, I think from the same place for the past year and a half, maybe. But now we are looking for a new place because they ask for don't use the first floor, and that first floor we will use it for the extra flow, for the old flow, or overflow. That's basically not a good thing. So we are praying with Ricardo for a new place. We have like probably two or three places in mind, but we are praying that we just made the right decision to move. Yes. Could you say again, please? No, it's not a crime. There is no that kind of persecution. The problem is like sometimes criminals are blackmailing churches. Because they think that the churches has money. That's the main thing. But the government, what we have heard, but we are not 100% sure, is that the government is trying to impose some taxes to the churches. But again, so far we don't know what's going to happen with that. But not really like a persecution in that sense of the government be against the gospel, not that we have heard, which is a blessing. Another question? Yes, brother.
Do you feel that some persecution comes about through people leaving Catholicism, and do you have to deal with, say, when a new believer comes to the Lord, they come out of a family that has Catholic roots. Do they feel a lot of pressure from their family and hardship from them?
Oh, yes. Yes, so basically you are like going in a really bad way with your family. If you leave their tradition, that's so hard in our culture. So that was my case. So my mom was just laughing on me, my wife. She was really, really sad, and the Lord called her for salvation. So now she's a Christian. So praise the Lord for that. So we spent probably like more than 10 years praying for her. Praise the Lord for that. But yeah, so it's really difficult to detach, because the family group in our culture is very, very close. So, you know, you spend Sundays, Saturdays with your family, just eating together, having fun, playing table games. And that's so common every week. So, but when you don't believe what they believe, it becomes like very hard. But that's a kind of persecution in a sense, but we know that because the Bible also instructed about that. So, any other question? Yes, brother. I'm not 100% sure, to be honest, because we haven't lived in Colombia for 20 years. And when we left Colombia, so we leave some things there, but now we are like more, let's say, like more in communication with Ricardo. And we know that, of course, because there are another missionaries there, so they are working there, serving the Lord. So I think probably the security is similar almost in every city. The problem with Pereira, what I have heard, is like because it's the coffee city, so there are a lot of money around, and that helps to the narco people, because they can just try to infiltrate to clean their money, the dirty money, with the coffee money. So that becomes a very, very, I will say, like hard situations, you know, because it's they have issues, problems, and that can be explored in a big war between bands and gangs and things like that. Yeah. Yes?
The question is there an opportunity? A lot of Catholics. And maybe if there's any good that comes out of that is that they will stand against some things like wokeism. So my question is there an opportunity for your mission in Colombia? Like legally, could it have like a homeschool or a Christian school where the kids could be taught the truth?
Oh, that will be a huge blessing. Yes, so definitely. So it can be an option to try to set up like a Christian college. But we will see, because again, so from my heart, what I'm thinking of is like everything really should flow up from the local church. So, you know, the needs of the local church. Of course, we're going out, reach out people, share the message of the gospel. And if the Lord just in his goodness show us like the need of something like that. Because it's a really good idea, of course. If there is a Christian school, maybe some people, moral people, they would like to have their children there. But again, our focus continues to be the local church and working in the local church and see how the Lord leading us for the other ministries. But always is an opportunity to reach out the lost in that way. Thank you for the question.
Brother.
Yes, brother.
It seems like every country has its unique ideologies that that they battle within U.S., Canada. What would you say right now is the biggest threat or threats to the church in Colombia embracing that would be maybe not seen as a threat by some Christians? Do you know what I mean?
Like the trendy of being involved in the church, world trendy?
Like, so ideologies, I know, for example, in the U.S., obviously the embracing of, you know, DEI, like Alan said, woke things. In Colombia, like, I know in Chile, matriarchal society at times, right? It's very dominant, so there's a tap on the family, mm-hmm. in a sense. Like, what would you say are the biggest challenges to the church in Colombia that are perhaps infiltrating teachings that are coming into the church?
Yeah, so definitely we have that kind of worldly influence. And because people spend more time in the world than in the church, so we will have people with like divided minds in the church, like in, I believe, like in anywhere, any church. So, but in that sense, is of course a threaten. That's the word. A threaten to the church. But the only thing we can do is share the gospel, preach the word, disciple people, and only the Lord can change those minds.
Prosperity is a big issue.
And prosperity is also a big issue. Yeah. Because people think that they will become rich if they give away some of their money to those prosperity churches. So that's another big thing. It's a big issue. Yes. Yes. Thank you for the question. Yes. Yes, brother.
We just had a conference here, I guess 2 weeks ago now, that brought together like-minded pastors, like-minded churches. I'm curious about the network of like-minded churches or missionaries in Colombia currently that you're interacting with. Can you give us a sense of where some of those like-minded believers are, and maybe how you interact with them to support one another, to encourage one another, and so forth?
Sure. We are basically very involved with the missionaries from GMI. So we have missionaries right now in Cali. There is a church that was planted there 5 years ago. We have there three missionaries, two from the U.S. and one from Colombia. So we are very connected with them, having some of the... have you heard about the TMAI, which is the training centers for pastors? So there is a school in the process to be just elected, like a TMA school, and all those pastors from Cali and Bogota, we have another missionaries in Bogota, and including Ricardo in Pereira, are working together to try to influence another pastors with a good teaching. So the idea is to, I think they have created like the first conference for pastors, and that brought out like different kind of pastors and different beliefs, but the idea is to influence them.
Yeah.
With the sound doctrine. But the group, I will say that, as far as I know, is basically the GMI group working together. But yeah, probably there are another Reformed churches in different cities that they have also connected with them in a sense. So, but thank you. That's so important. So have a group of other sound doctrine pastors and leaders. To, yeah. Yes, brother.
So the sooner the funding comes in, the sooner you can go.
Yes, that's basically the thing. Yeah, we are in that process, raising funds, and when we reach like 80% of the funds, GMI starts like, okay, we are very close, so we will set, let's say, like we set up a date to go. So, yeah. So we are around 40% right now. So we are still going, but trusting in the Lord. Yeah. Thank you for the question, Lily. Any other question, brothers and sisters? So if there is no other question, so I will ask pastors to pray.
Yeah.
Please.
Certainly. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your bringing Luis and Diana here to minister the word to us, but also to share of your work in their lives, the testimony that you've given to them. And Father, we are greatly encouraged. Lord God, we pray that as they continue to rally, to gain support, trusting in your providence and in your gracious provision, Lord, would you
provide those funds and the support needed in order for them to come alongside the Moraleses and faithfully serve to proclaim this very gospel that our dear brother here has proclaimed to us this morning. And so, Father, we pray that you would continually bless them as they desire to serve you. And again, we are so thankful that you've brought them here, that we can spend time together, that you would knit our hearts together in Christ. And we praise you for that. We pray this in his name. Amen.